at identifying trees. Pretty good at identifying trees. I generally know what trees look like. They are tall, spindly wooden affairs with lots of leaves attached to them. And I can probably pick out and identify a few trees, some trees, but I've always kind of wished that I could just look at any tree and say, oh, that I know what that tree is. But I can't. But there are definitely some trees that I know. I'd like to talk to you about a passage tonight in which Jesus talks about judging trees and judging fruit that grows on trees. And it's in Matthew chapter 7 where Jesus talks about this, where he says, you will know them by their fruits. You know them by their fruits. Kind of an interesting passage. Throughout the whole Sermon on the Mount, Jesus almost exclusively focuses upon the individual and upon specifically you or me as the individual and the way that we ought to practice our religion as an individual, our motives and our spiritual devotion. And he doesn't really talk about others. He certainly talks about how we should treat others and our disposition toward others, but not in terms of judging others. But then in chapter 7, he does say one thing about not casting your pearl before swine. And then he gets to this passage where he talks about them, judging them. And it's in a context of being wary of false teachers. So that's a little bit of a transition. He's closing up his sermon, at least as it's recorded in Matthew. He's going to make some applications about the necessity of following his teaching. But here toward the end, about beware of false teachers. And in that context, he talks about judging them by their fruit. So we look here in Matthew 7:15, beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Now, this is still a concern to you and me as individuals because we're the ones who need to apply what Jesus is talking about. We, each of us, are responsible. We, each of us, must beware of false teachers lest we be led astray by them. And so it still has a personal application, but it's an application that's based upon our assessment or judgment of others, which is necessary. No way to beware of false teachers if you can't identify them, if you can't know who they are that you're supposed to beware of. And so in that context, Jesus says this in Matthew 7 and verse 16, you will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. And it's an obvious principle. We understand that a plant, a bush, a tree, is locked in genetically to produce whatever that particular kind of bush or tree is. It's not going to produce something else. It's going to produce what it is. And you can identify them that way. You know, a tree grows up and it produces fruit. You identify the fruit and you know what kind of tree that is. And it's not going to produce something different tomorrow or the next year. It's going to keep on producing the same fruit every year until the tree dies, because that's the kind of tree that it is. And so you assess the fruit, you know what kind of tree that is, and then you know how to deal with the tree. Now, what kind of tree is that? See, you know more than you thought you did. You can identify trees, can't you? That is a orange tree. What kind of tree is that? Well, I hope you can make it out anyway. That's a banana tree, although I'm led to understand that banana trees aren't really trees. Can anybody verify that? Anybody? Nobody? See? Don't you wish you knew stuff? Banana tree. We'll call it a tree. Banana tree. That's pretty easy. Okay, what kind of tree is that? Well, that's a shoe tree. All right. Here's a tree. What kind of tree is this? You ever seen this tree? In 1957, on April 1st, BBC broadcast a story about people in Switzerland collecting spaghetti from spaghetti trees. And they figured that, you know, given the date and so forth, that everybody would just know it was kind of a joke, kind of a lark. But they had hundreds and hundreds of people call in wanting to know where they could get a spaghetti tree. So, all joking aside, you can tell what a tree is by its fruit. That's how we generally identify trees. Not a lot of trees don't grow fruits or something edible, nuts or fruits or things like that. But in terms of an agrarian agricultural society such as Jesus is talking to, you don't just grow ornamental trees. You grow trees because you're hungry and you need food. And so you identify the kinds of trees that grow the kind of things that you can eat, and that's the kind of tree you grow. And if it doesn't grow the kind of thing you can eat, cut it down and burn it, because that's not useful. And that's what application Jesus makes of that. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. And so just as you apply your knowledge and your assessment and you put effort into deciding, is this a productive, useful tree? Will it give me food that I can eat? Or is it not? Is it a bad tree? Does it produce nothing I can eat? Or doesn't produce? Or it produces something even bad or poisonous? You make that determination and then you act accordingly. You help the good trees, fertilize them, water them. But the bad trees, you cut those down and you burn those, because those are bad. They are not helpful. And worse, they may be actually detrimental. And so that's the principle. And the application is to beware of false teachers. You assess them and you look at their fruit and you judge and you determine and then you act accordingly. That's the application that Jesus is making here. Now, some trees you can't tell very well. This is an almond tree. And you could call it a sweet almond tree or just an almond tree. And it produces almonds, and almonds are good and tasty and delightful. And I love almonds. I especially love almonds when they're surrounded by chocolate. But there are some almond trees that are not good at all. Some almond trees are poisonous. Now, this is the point. This is a poisonous almond tree. We saw these in Grenada. I remember we were walking on the beach and we picked these. Kenny and I was there. We were on one of our diving trips and we picked up these slings. A they were pulp-like shells around something, and inside they had these almonds, and they looked exactly like almonds look. And one of the locals told us that they're poisonous. They have too high a level of cyanide in them, and if you eat too many of them, it'll kill you. Good information. It's good to know. And in fact, there's this particular almond tree is different. It's actually a different genus than the normal almond tree. But even among trees that look exactly the same, there are some, because of a genetic mutation, that just produce too much cyanide, and they'll kill you. The tree looks the same. The almond looks the same. But one's bad and one's good. Okay. So when you find ones that are bad, you don't leave those around. You cut those down and you burn them, the seeds and everything else. Makes sense, doesn't it? So, know them by their fruits. The context has to do with judging religious authorities, teachers, movements, religious organizations, anybody who would to propagate a certain doctrine or certain practice of religion that is not good. False prophets, beware of them. By extension, of course, it's a warning to those who would follow them, because just as the tree is bad, if you are a person who are collecting the bad fruit from the bad tree and selling the bad fruit from the bad tree and spreading the bad fruit from the bad tree and eating the bad fruit from the bad tree, it's bad for you in lots of different ways. And so not only is the tree bad, those who spread it are bad. And you don't want to be one of those people. So beware of false teachers. And so that means we have to assess. We have to assess, what is it? Behavior, doctrine, the results of teachers? Yeah. All of those things. And in that regard, it's a little bit of judging. It's judging that's necessary. It's not. It should not be hypocritical judging. It should not be judging that is harsh or that is unloving, but it should be judging. That's because Jesus teaches that, and all of the beautiful things that Jesus teaches in the Sermon on the Mount includes this. It's something we need to do to practice our faith according to the teaching of our Master. We have to do this. We have to. Now, to understand how or the way Jesus is thinking about that, again, context rules everything. He goes on to say in Matthew 7:21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." That's the person who will enter. Now, see, here's the thing. Just like sometimes you can't tell by looking at an almond tree or even at the almond whether it's poisonous or good, you can't tell looking at a teacher, looking at a religious doctrine or organization. You may not be able to tell right away. I mean, you're looking at it and you say, well, that looks the same. It looks good. What should I make of this? Well, Jesus is saying not everybody who just says, "Lord, Lord," is, well, it's Christian. They believe in Christ. They're followers of Christ. Well, that may be true in terms of what they say. But not everybody who says that is right. Not everyone who says that enters the kingdom of heaven. There's another standard, another level of discretion you have to use. You say, it looks like an almond, but is it a good almond? Everyone who does the will of my Father. Now, here's some criteria that we need to apply. Those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. And Jesus goes on to say, "Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name?' Well, that sounds good. And in your name cast out demons, that certainly sounds impressive. And in your name perform many miracles." And whether they actually did or they didn't, they thought that they did, or maybe other people thought that they did, somebody thought that they did, that they at least claimed that they did. And a person might look at that and say, well, that's good fruit, so that must be a good teacher or a good prophet, good group or a good organization. Because they claim Jesus as their Lord and they're out there doing good works and casting out demons and working miracles, and Jesus will say to them, "I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." I didn't put that verse up there, but you know it's there. So, here's the thing about judging fruit. How do we tell what's good? And what criteria do we use? And do we use our own judgment? And how can we be sure? You know, it's important. These are important matters. Let me just make a few principled applications that I think are in keeping with the illustration that Jesus uses. When you go out into a new area, a place you've never been before, and perhaps you're out in the wild or something like this, and you see a tree, and it has fruit on it, or nuts, or what have you. So you see them on the ground. And they look good. They look okay. What do you do? Do you just eat it? You just say, well, you know, that looks good. I guess I'll try that. I guess I'll see if it's good. I'll see if it's good by eating a little bit of it. No, you don't do that. If you do, you're an idiot. There is in Curacao, another island in the Caribbean, there's these trees all over the place. Everywhere you go, practically, there's these little trees, and they make these little apples, and they look delightful. And they're all over the ground, and they're all over the place, and you would think by the look of them that they would look like something completely innocuous, completely benign, or maybe even tasty or good to eat, like a little crab apple or something like that. But if you're paying attention, and if you're cautious, every once in a while you'll see a little sign. And it'll be a red circle with a slash through it, or it'll be something in Dutch and also in English that says poisonous. These are poisonous. And one of the first times we got there, I picked them things up. I didn't know what they were, and I was looking at them, you know, and somebody told us those are poisonous. In fact, even the poison, I understand, can get on your fingers, you know, and if you lick your fingers or something like that, you can get a little bit of it in you, and it's not good. And so the principle is, determine what the fruit is before you ingest the fruit. And if you have not yet determined what the fruit is, don't ingest the fruit. The rule, the standard procedure is, you find out first. And so the idea that, well, I'm just going to follow whatever religion or my religion in whatever way, and this is what I was taught, and I'm just going to accept that, or this looks good to me, that's not wise. There has to be a standard, there has to be a way, a series of tests that you could perform to determine that something is safe before you ingest it, before you make it your life's calling. You have to have something to judge it by. And that standard, of course, is God's truth. It's the Word of God. And it has to be. It can't be anything else. See, a lot of times the standard that people apply is well, the fruit is a good work, a good consequence. It helps people. And if in my opinion and in my view it helps people, then that must be good. Well, I'm sure that there are fruits in the world that you can eat that initially taste good and seem good, but in the end aren't good at all. And so if all you're relying on is your ability to perceive or to be able to detect whether or not the consequence is good or not within a short enough time frame to make it safe, then you're probably going to make a mistake. It needs to be something a little more ironclad than that. And that's what Jesus is getting at when he goes on to say, for instance, in Matthew 7:23, "Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." You see, that clues you into something right there. That there is instruction, that there are guidelines, that there is law or God's revelation, and that it must be adhered to. And if you don't adhere to that, then what you're doing is you're eating fruit that has not been verified. And in fact, if it's not according to God's will or word, it's poisonous. And so if you think, well, we're doing good works, we're casting out demons, we're working miracles, we call you Lord, but there's this snag right here, there's this problem. And this is the thing that we have to pay attention to. Now, Jesus does go on to say in Matthew 7:24, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them," and that's the same thing that I'm talking about. Hear these words of mine, not just anybody's words, but His words, "and acts on them, And not just acting to be acting, not just be doing to be doing, but to be acting and doing according to the instructions of Jesus. That's how you know. That's how you know if the fruit is good or the fruit is bad. And that takes study. It takes a lot of thought and consideration. And that's what we need to do. And it is what we try to do. And we need to continue to do it. Because we don't want to be a bad tree producing bad fruit. And we don't want to stand before the Lord on the day of judgment and have Him say, "You weren't one of mine. You weren't doing what I told you to do." Now, typically, when brethren in the church apply this lesson, they usually apply it to something with respect to doctrine or dogma or teaching in a certain area, such as baptism for the remission of sins, or the correct acts of worship that we are to engage in, or the organization of the church, or something like that. And all of that is completely good. It's fair. To apply this principle of acting according to the teaching of Jesus in our worship, in our organization, in our teaching with respect to how one becomes a Christian, we should be good fruit. And to be good fruit, we need to act on Jesus' words. But let me suggest to you that perhaps sometimes we overlook, once again, the context. And the context of this sermon, and therefore this warning that Jesus gives us at the end of a sermon, the context is about personal, individual devotion and honesty and love and spirituality. That's Sermon on the Mount. It's about all those things. And so, it is also problematic when people practice in their religion some form of materialism, because Jesus teaches against materialism in the Sermon on the Mount and about doing things to just acquire wealth and prosperity in this life. And there are a lot of religious groups, churches, that just focus on that. They just focus on wealth and health and success in this life, and that's poisonous. I'm sorry, but it is. And there are others who focus exclusively upon personal satisfaction. They build their whole religion around what they find to be themselves personally uplifting or encouraging or delightful. And I understand why. It seems fairly innocent and innocuous, but it's not what Jesus calls for in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus calls for sacrifice and service and dedication to God. And if your religion is just self-satisfying, that's poison. But he also talks about not just making your religion rule-keeping. And just, I keep this rule, I keep this rule, I keep this rule. And if you have no love, if you have no true dedication to God, if you're not earnest, you are in fact failing. And you're practicing a religion that's poison. And that would be poisonous too if that's all we concentrated on, is got to keep this rule, got to keep that rule, and all you got to do is keep all these rules. And there was no heart in it, there was no love in it, there was no mercy in it. That would be poisonous too. And we need to be fair about all of that, because all of that falls under this category of these words of mine and acting upon the words of Jesus. And so we need to have a complete, full set of analysis, if you will, of what is good fruit. And following those teachers and leaders that serve the whole true and pure doctrine of Christ. Because otherwise, we're not acting on the words of Jesus. So beware. Beware of those who would lead you astray. In conclusion, there are many false ways which seem attractive, but it's not their attractiveness to you, to your mode of thinking or your personal opinion. It's not its attractiveness that makes it good. Jesus tells us to be careful and search for the fruit that is good, and that fruit can be determined only by carefully following the teaching of Jesus. Honestly following the teaching of Jesus. And that is how you find good fruit. And that's how you ingest good fruit and spread good fruit and don't become guilty of lawlessness. That's my sermon this evening. And I trust that it is in keeping with God's Word. It is what I strive for always. And if it is, if you can tell that it is, if you see that it is, have some fruit. If there's anybody here tonight that needs to obey the gospel, do what Jesus says. Act on His words. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. And if you want to do that tonight, have some as we stand and sing.
Bring Christ your broken life.